Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Chasm Radio Farm Director Joe Gill. This week during our Pioneer Seeds Seed to Feed, Nick Schimmick joining us and really taking a look at corn and beans and alfalfa. And right now, as we pass the first few days of July, Nick right now says a lot of crops, there is a lot of variation around our Central Minnesota area.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right, Joe. Just depending on kind of, well, of course, our planting progress that we had in Central Minnesota. I know that we had, you know, a lot of early stuff that we could kind of get in, and once it hit really fast. And really what we were waiting on is just waiting for ground to be fit and get going. So, you know, a lot of that crop has really been moving along quick, especially with the heat that we've had through the end of May and especially through June that we've had. I mean, for most of the area, we're sitting either between 250 to 300 GDUs ahead of normal right now. So just imagine what that does to crop development. That means we're just pushing it along that much faster, which means, I think, for corn, as we've been walking fields, we're seeing some of that stuff that's planted early, that's had sufficient water and grown really well, to be close to tasseling probably within the next week to 10 days or so. And we're seeing a lot of tassels start popping out now as we get into the next 2 to 3 weeks. So we're kind of getting to that critical stage for corn where, you know, we're trying to set a lot of our row length as well as trying to hopefully set and pollinate really well too.
Now, Nick, when it comes to corn, when it's lacking moisture, what does it do? I mean, physically, I can see that some of the leaves are pointed straight up. They might be browning at the tip. So what does that plant want to do when it's looking for more water?
Yeah, and right now, you know, we were kind of in that stage where we were right on that breaking point, it seemed like, where we were starting to demand more and more water just because that crop became bigger, right? We're starting to demand more. But at the same time, the plant's trying to conserve as much as it can. So when we've been seeing that, especially about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, we started seeing a lot of those 80, 90-degree days in the afternoon, seeing those plants start to curl up, those leaves start to curl. You know, that's the plant basically physiologically trying to respond, saying, I'm trying to conserve water, I'm shutting down, I'm not photosynthesizing anymore. But what that also does is that it shuts down the plant development, right? It's not really growing as fast. It's kind of shutting down, trying to save itself. So that hurts us. That can hurt us in a couple of ways. Of course, it's really hurting us that we're not continuing to grow and also take up nutrients and water that needs to be able to make that ear that we want to. On the second hand, as long as that we were talking, how is that plant still alive? How's that plant doing? Well, luckily, a lot of those plants are still coming unfurled through the night and into the morning and really weren't curling up to the afternoon. So, you know, that means that we're really not shutting down all day and we're still being able to photosynthesize. So we kind of caught a rain at the right time. I know it was very variable where some people caught, you know, a quarter inch about a week ago and a week and a half ago, where some caught up to an inch. And so that was really a good timing for that. Of course, we'll need more. But it's kind of the right time for that to be able to, that plant to be able to take up. Because when we don't have moisture, we can't take up nutrients. And when you can't take up nutrients, you can't add to that ear development. So as we get to this final phase here, as we get closer to tassel and pollination, more of a drought impact actually affects our yield more. So we're starting to get to that critical phase. We're going to need more moisture because that plant's needing more.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report this morning. Nick talks about his feelings on how the soybeans are doing.
Yeah, that's a great question. So soybeans are all over the board. I think that was one of the big talking points as we got through the end of last week was, what are we looking at for soybeans? Because we caught a rain, and a lot of that beans that were planted late or maybe we've seen some spotty emergence, they were just sitting in dry soil or they just hadn't emerged yet. So we had some beans that had come through the ground, and we had some that were just starting to come through almost as of last week. So we almost had to think of it as beans that were planted maybe middle to end of May and beans that were planted middle to the end of June, just because of that delayed emergence there. So I guess the biggest thing is that there's a lot of season yet that can happen. Kind of what I would expect is as we come towards harvest, that was the question as well, will these plants even produce anything? So soybeans are a miraculous plant where they can make up and compensate for a lot. So kind of a rule of thumb is for every 5 to 7 days delayed in planting or emergence, we're really only delaying harvest by 1 day. So think about beans that may be delayed or didn't emerge for 30 days sitting out there. Well, that might only mean a 4 to 5 day difference in harvest maturity. So that's the positive side. The negative side is that we have to yet to be determined is, well, how much yield is that impacted? Because really what that's shortening is it's shortening our time to our first flower and shortening our flowering window, right? So that's really where we're trying to get impacted for yield potential. So kind of will depend on how our fall is. If we get an early fall and shut down early, we might run into more green bean scenarios or more green stems. But at the same time, we can actually run maybe into a favorable fall, and let those finish out well, add some more bean size, and be able to make up for that yet. So don't give up on the beans. I think we still got a lot of opportunity, and we may not be as impacted late in the season as we may think, if we can get a favorable fall. There's always that caveat there.
Nick, when it comes to alfalfa, I have talked to a few farmers that have had one and two crops of alfalfa looking good. I've had others who said they took that first crop off, second crop very, very thin. Alfalfa right now, I think, benefiting obviously from that very deep root structure right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was a lot of reports coming back from that first crop of alfalfa that it was doing really well. You know, I think we had some subsoil moisture. We were able to set up really well to have a lot of stems out there, made up for good tonnage with some of that early heat, and able to have some good quality, some big tonnage alfalfa the first crop. Second crop may have got hit a little bit depending on a couple factors, you know, depending on when we got dry and how far along or how old that stand was too. You know, if we had a short root structure, maybe not as straight at the right time, we probably saw a bigger impact, especially after that first cutting when we were making those buds. Compared to if we had maybe a little bit older stand that had a little bit better root structure and caught a few rains. The other factor it seemed like, too, is that alfalfa weevils came through again. Maybe not as strong as last year as we had in some spots, but definitely heavy enough, too. So depending on when we were applied and when that first cutting was and the timing with all that, alfalfa weevils might have taken a little bit into that second crop as well. Something to still watch out for. It seems like a lot of those are turning into adults. We're not seeing as much alfalfa weevil damage anymore, but definitely saw some of that going in the second crop still.
Are you hearing any sort of pest pressure when it comes to corn or beans yet at all, Nick?
The most pest pressure that I've heard of so far has been through some soybean aphids starting to actually pop up in some areas in central Minnesota. Definitely nothing heavy. You know, it's kind of been dry. So it wasn't really any hot, so I wasn't really expecting any of that. But did hear some reports of that, so something to watch out for. It's still very early, and the conditions might not be quite right for them to really flourish. But something to just be aware of, and that's kind of the main pest I've been hearing. The other thing on the corn side, I guess, I'd start looking out for is corn rootworm. They emerged already and have been feeding, of course, and we'll start seeing those adults start to emerge as we get towards that tassel time. So they're kind of feeding on the roots right now. And if you're having any wind issues or if we do have any of that pop up and see some corn lodging, something I also look for is maybe if there was any corn rootworm damage, especially on those continuous corn fields. So if you have corn on corn, concerned about that, now's the time to start digging roots. We start looking to see if you see any damage from corn rootworm.
So are you going to see physically some nibbling, or what are you going to see on those roots?
Yeah, the main thing you'll see, especially the best thing you can do, actually, is dig out those plants, dig out a root, a whole root system, wash it in a bucket, and see if you can see those larvae float to the top. But then when you physically inspect those roots, they'll be either your nodal roots, which are your roots that are kind of supporting the plant, but also your main root system that's kind of going into the ground when you pull that plant out. You'll see those trim back. So we start seeing those trim back into a half an inch or so, an inch of that base where that nodal root connects to the stalk. That's when you start being concerned. So if you start seeing all those trim back, blackened holes within that, that's when you start seeing that you maybe have some corn rootworm feeding. Maybe you start seeing a nodal root and a half or so start being eaten back, then you probably know you have a little more pressure out there. So great way to look for it right now. You know, it's kind of you can't really cure anything from it, right, because the damage is already done, and it's more of a preventative thing going forward. But definitely good to know if you're having damage and continue to have continuous corn going into the future. Just to be able to go out there and manage that or looking into 2024.
Finally, Nick, that July, once again, a lot of people know July is really, it determines a lot no matter what kind of crop you're talking about.
Yeah, July, we're coming into a critical month here, especially as you get into corn, right, because corn, we're going to be tasseling soon, and we can have made a great ear with a great number of rows around, the right ear length, but at the end of the day, if we don't set those kernels, pollinate those kernels, and then hold those kernels all the way through to July and into early August, then that can really impact yield. So this is probably our biggest yield-determining time for corn. The best things we can do, of course, if water limiting is one thing, right, if you don't have irrigation, you can only do so much to control that, right? But at the same time, making sure that we have had our fertility set right. Hopefully most of our nitrogen, digest nitrogen applications have gone on. Sometimes we still have that second pass, almost in-season pass coming through. We still got to do that yet. And then also, if you start seeing some disease or need to protect that from a fungicide application coming up in your tassel as well. So very critical time. We're starting to set a lot of yield here pretty soon in corn, or at least determining a lot of our yield here soon in corn. On the bean side here, we've started seeing some flowers start poking out even as we get the summer solstice on the 21st, even just around that time, depending on what our maturity was and our planting. So really is starting to protect those flowers and trying to hopefully hold some of those pods. For soybeans, really our biggest thing that we usually run into in central Minnesota when you get into flowering is white mold. Hasn't really been a very favorable year as of yet for white mold, of course, being dry and not very humid. But those that have a heavy pressure consistently and year over year. Always something to be aware of, because that those sclerotia live in the soil, and you get the right conditions at the right time, that's when they can appear. It's all about timing. So two big yield determining times, especially as you come up the next month and a half. So just watching out what's coming up for, taking care of the crop, and help protect as much as we can.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report on a Saturday morning, brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service in Avon, featuring Nick Schimmick with Pioneer Seeds. He was our Seed to Feed segment guest here this past week. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for Chasm Radio. I'm Joe Gill. Have a good weekend.